that Jesus commands that we love our enemies. It is not a nice thing. It is of the very essence of Christianity. Jesus teaches, his teaching is that to love your enemy is the command of being his disciple. We cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless we listen to his commandment of loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. This is such a tremendously difficult and absolutely, according to human nature, impossible. That's why we have to have supernatural grace. We have to have the love of Christ within us himself in order to fulfill the commandment. Without Jesus in us, without the Holy Spirit, without the life of God, we cannot live this commandment. And so here he's telling us in Matthew, and this is the fifth chapter, the 43rd to the 48th verses, the most radical teaching of any religion that there is. There is no other religion that teaches this. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard how it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say this to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In this way, you will be sons of your Father in heaven. For because he causes his sun to rise on the bad men as well as the good, and his rain to fall on honest and dishonest men alike. For if you love those who love you, what right have you to claim any credit? Even the tax collectors do as much, do they not? And if you save your greetings for your brothers, are you doing anything exceptional? Even the pagans do as much, do they not? You must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Only God loves everyone. God has made all of mankind. And so if you're a Mexican and you just love Mexicans, or if you're a Mexican and you must come to realize there are good Mexicans and there are bad Mexicans. If you're a black man, it isn't that there's only good black men, there are bad black men. If you're an Asian, a Korean, a Chinese, there are good and bad. Among every race, a white man, men and women, good and bad. Do we just not love those who are bad? You have to love your enemy. You have to love those who persecute you. You have to love those who come against you. To actually love them. It was the first time I realized the difference between Christianity in the Middle East. When there, these three religions came together, Islam, Jewish, Israelis, and the Christian religion. They were lived there in that area in the Middle East. The Muslims could actually hate, and they do. They actually teach you can hate your enemy, and you can actually even kill them out of love for God. And the Jews teach retaliation. That's what our Lord is saying. And you own, but your enemy, you can actually hate them. And Jesus is saying, now here in the middle of both the Muslim and the Jew is the Christian. They can hate each other, and they have for centuries and for millennia. They have constant conflict with one another. But the Christian is asked to love them. So we are called in our lives to love one another. That command is so important for us to truly be a Christian. I remember when I first went to South America, it was the first time in my life that I had met this deep poverty. And I was living in an area in the northern part of Peru. And it was in the district of Piura. And one of the areas was our parish. And it was in a very remote area of that particular district of Piura. It was a section called Castilla. And there was no electrification there. It was a very, very poor area. And it's the first time I just saw utter and complete poverty. The priest that I was going to be living with actually wanted a gun to protect himself because the poverty was so deep. And when I first arrived, he said, "These Peruvians, they're all thieves." Well, and I just couldn't believe that. And he said, "Every night they come smashing in, and there are so many times that they've been smashing at my door, and I stand here with a baseball bat trying to protect myself." And he said, and I actually had brought a gun, and I didn't know what he was going to use it to protect himself. I said, I don't think I didn't come here to kill anybody, and I don't believe I want to live in this house. And that was a very big decision for me to make, not to stay with him. I found a place that I could rent. Renting places was pretty cheap there. I found a place that I moved. I just moved out of that house. And I set up my office and a room there. And we're both going to serve in the local church, but I didn't want to live there. I opened my front door. I took the lock off. Right outside of the door, right inside the door, I had a little bottle of soda. Every night I would put it there, and I would put out some money. And I didn't know who might come. Maybe the second or third night there, there was a man, and actually there was no roof on this particular place that I had. And I saw somebody coming down on a ladder and while I was in bed. And I said to him, "¿Qué quiere? What do you want?" And he was startled because I shouted at him. And when he came down, I said, "Why don't you come in? Their front door is open. You didn't have to come through the roof." So we sat down and we began to talk. What did you come here for?" He said, "I need money." "What do you need it for?" He said, "I want to buy a cajon. I want to buy a coffin for my little girl. She just died." And I said, "How much do you need?" And he told me. And I gave him the money. And I said, "Sit down and maybe we could talk about having a mass for her." And that was such a beautiful experience. He isn't an enemy. He was a poor man. And he was a thief. And I was amazed. One of the things that happened when I kept that front door open, that for the next weeks and months, I didn't have anyone trying to rob me. I can't say that I really got away with people not stealing things. Yes, that often happened when people are very poor. And so with that front door open, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But that was a great experience for me. The second place that I was, and I had never been in war. I somehow or other had missed war all my life. But when I went to Beirut in the 80s, there was war. And it was war and war and killing and killing. And armored trucks and tanks and all kinds of horrible things. And they're pretty violent, and shelling and killing and violence. And that was every day, every day. And in the midst of this war, I was sent there by our Holy Father to care for the Palestinian refugees that had their refugee camps spread throughout various areas of Lebanon. There were 14 of them. And as I was ministering to them, one of the things that I wanted to do, because there, for the first time in my life, I experienced this hatred and this violence between religions. There was the Christian section, that was East Beirut, and there was the Western section, that was West Beirut, and part of that area was the Shiite district. And I finally got someone to help me, and I wanted to go to see Shams ad-Din. He was the head of the Shiites. And I heard about Hezbollah, the party of God, and I heard about the violence with which they lived. And because I was a Vatican representative, and part of my mission would be to see the leaders of the various sections, and he was one of them, Shams ad-Din. I made my way, and I still see in their eyes as they saw me coming. I was dressed in my cassock. I had on my cross, and I'm coming into Shiite territory, and I'm being shuffled from one group to another, all armed. And here in this one building that I finally get to, I'm ushered in by a group of soldiers. And I finally get to meet Shams ad-Din, and a pleasant looking man. And we spoke in Arabic, and my Arabic at that time wasn't too good, but it was sufficient to communicate. And one of the things that he told me was there was a young man who had been through this war for so often. He had belonged to the Christian militia. He put down his gun and knew this was not the way. He had been converted by the gospel, and he began a life of prayer, and he began a life of wanting to bring healing and peace to this torn land of Lebanon. And he began begging and collecting money. And he actually collected 1 million Lebanese pounds. And he made his way. How he did it, he had a robe on, his name was Akh Nur, Brother Light. And he was known in so many sections, especially of the Christian section of Beirut. And Akh Nur made his way with this bag of money. And they wanted to know what he wanted. He wanted to talk to Shams ad-Din. And finally, when he got to him, and this is the story this man, Shams ad-Din, told me. He gave him the money, 1 million pounds. And he said, this is in reparation for the killing of so many of the Hezbollah. This is in reparation for the killing of so many Shiites. And they have orphan children. This money I would like to contribute to the care of the orphans of those men. And he looked at me and he said, if there were more Christians like that, there wouldn't be a war. I'll never forget those words. If we Christians were Christians, if we would live what Jesus has said, the power of love that our Father has for his brothers and sisters would radiate through us. We have been sent as messengers of the Father because we are Jesus in this present age. What the Father needs are messengers to our brothers and sisters who are so alienated from him and from one another because they don't know Jesus. Only Jesus can bring about the healing. And it is precisely through this commandment of love. Recently, in that same vein, there was reported that there were 21 Coptic Egyptians killed in Libya. Actually, what happened was there were 20 Coptic Egyptians being killed and beheaded. And as they knelt there praying and loving and forgiving the one who was killing them and cutting their heads off, there was a Muslim man standing there watching the love pour through them, and it came into him. And they asked this man who was standing there in admiration of what he was seeing with these Egyptian martyrs, who's your God? My God is their God. And they killed him. My God is their God. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. The faith of those Christians witnessing to Jesus. That's what martyrs mean, witnesses. We are called and can be witnesses wherever we are. For years, when I came back from South America, I wanted to serve the poor, and I lived in a place called Valley View Terrace, where kids were gangs and drugs and all kinds of things that are in many places in the United States now. Many places, housing projects would be like the one that I was sent to and wanted to really go there to bring Christ's love. Drugs and gangs and fighting and killing and young people who are so confused. And I went there and they said, this is like a crazy place to be. But I knew Jesus needed to have witnesses there. And there were so many volunteers, young people who came with me. And we went into those neighborhoods. It was really such a powerful witness. And so many changes and transformations took place. And there, who lived there? Mexicans, good and bad. Good and bad. Blacks, good and bad. White people, welfare kinds, good and bad. Elderly, good and bad. The kinds of suffering that was going on there, the kinds of needs. And when the witnessing began to take place of the presence of Jesus, you see, you're not good because of yourself. You're good because of Jesus. You're not bad. You're bad because you don't have him. And that's why they need witnesses of Christ and love, because their Father wants them to be saved. That's why he rains on them. That's why the sun shines on them. That's why the Father who loves them needs those who are going to be representatives of his love in the world today. Where there are the poor, where there are the broken, where are the needy, they need Jesus, who comes to them through us. We bring him. And so if you're a black, be Jesus to your fellow black men. Or a Mexican, be Jesus to your fellow Mexicans. Be Jesus to everyone, because the Father is the Father of all mankind, not just of Asians, of Koreans and Vietnamese. No, he's the Father of all of his children. And many times we have divisions of races, divisions of nationalities, divisions of the family of God. The Father is the Father of all. What Jesus is teaching us today is universal love. It begins in the family. It begins in the heart of every baptized Christian. And it radiates out from there. Today, the commandment of Jesus is so ignored and maybe thought unattainable, that how can I be as perfect as my Father? There is only one who lived that perfectly. And his name is Jesus. That one is in me. That one is in you. You are truly, if you're baptized, if you're confirmed, if you're a priest, that Jesus is in you. And you can be as perfect as your Father today. Now, all of us are bad. All of us have sin, and we have sinned, especially in the light of this commandment. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Be as perfect as your Father who is in heaven.
Monsignor, it's such a challenging gospel for so many. Sometimes it's easier to maybe forgive an enemy from a distance than it is to forgive those that are sometimes even under our own roofs. I mean, how can... and especially when we're called to have, as some would say, you know, we need to have boundaries and healthy boundaries and those kinds of things. It kind of complicates things. What's the difference between those boundaries and then as opposed to isolating ourselves?
I think, like, if you're like, if I gave you the example when I was in those housing projects, if you're a young woman and you would go there at night, I think you'd be foolish. That's not a place that you should go. But if you could stay in tune as a young woman with your Father, that is God, and discern where it is he wants you to go to be Christ, as a 14-year-old member of this family, well, then God's going to guide you through your parents, through your prayer, through your discernment. Do you want to love all of mankind? I think if I'm speaking to the heart of a young woman like that, and I know there are people who want to do what God wants them to do, and they want to be good examples of God's love in the world, and that Christ lives in them. Well, there would be the boundaries that I would say you should be careful where you're going to witness and how. Pray and ask the Father, where he wants you, in school, to be a witness to Christ's love, in the way you can comport yourself with your friends, and the way you would be at a football game or a basketball game, or whatever way and opportunity you have to reflect divine love. I wouldn't begin by going into the enemy's territory, where you may be really hurt very badly. I think so many of us are being challenged by the world around us to live purity, to live with love, to live with, if you're like a nurse in a hospital, if you're a businessman in your business, the boundaries are the ordinary things in ordinary life around you that are challenging for you to see how you can be hurt in those circumstances by people who come against you and hurt you, and that in those circumstances, you recognize you have this opportunity now to truly be someone who knows this person is your enemy and wants to hurt you, but you want to love them. Every one of us, if you just take stock right now, who is that person that said this word against you? Even if you're driving in traffic, who cut you off? And what did you say? Or did you throw the finger at him? What was your response to someone coming against you? And every day we have these challenges to love those who are conceived of as our enemy, and to pray for those who persecute us. Think of those people that you have. Make a list of them and begin to exercise the power in you to pray for them and to love them as they are, whether they ask you for forgiveness or not, unconditionally. And do I have that power in me to do that? If you dig deeper into your own heart, you will find his heart in your heart, positively, absolutely. Now, that person may be your husband. That person may be your son. But there is in you the power to love, because every one of us for a time can see that even members of our own family can become our enemy. And if you're a black man and you experience a hurt from a white policeman, whatever that might be, it doesn't excuse you from this commandment of love. And when you carry these injuries, and what do we need today that to see God in one another, to reflect the love that can be in each of our hearts? We need witnesses today of Jesus. Jesus in every one of us, reflecting that power in the midst of our enemies and transforming the world into peace.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred and life, let me bring hope. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, to faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. We are all Christ to one another. We who have been baptized, we who have been confirmed, we who have been ordained are Christ in the world today. We are called to be witnesses of our Heavenly Father to the entire world. God bless.